Hey, you got a crazy family?
We want to hear all about it.
Got a brand new podcast. It's called My Crazy Family.
And boy, we know there are some stories out there, and sometimes it just makes you feel better to get it off your chest or to hear about somebody else's crazy family. It lets you know that maybe yours isn't as nuts as you thought.
Yeah, the bar gets set pretty damn high, trust me. You can call in your stories right now at 1-833-CRAY-FAM. That's 1-833-CRAY, C-R-A-Y, F-A-M, or write in your story at the website crazyfampod.com. That's crazyfampod.com.
And by the way, you don't have to use your real name. It's totally okay if you just want to make up names, but you just need to get rid of this information. We are your place.
You're not going to believe what you will hear on this podcast and the insane things that some families have put their loved ones through. 1-833-CRAY-FAM or write in at crazyfampod.com.
Stay tuned for our official launch date.
And start getting us those stories right now. crazyfampod.com.
My.
Crazy.
Crazy.
Family.
Family.
My.
Crazy.
Family.
A Los Angeles Sheriff's Department deputy with previous arrest for alleged child sex abuse charged with abusing four girls. Human remains found in suitcases that a New Zealand family bought at auction. And a pain doctor convicted of sexually abusing patients dies by suicide in jail.
This is True Crime Today.
Not only a tragedy for the family.
It's unfathomable.
Shot to death more than half a dozen times, likely with a shotgun by his own mother.
True Crime Today.
So he then drove her body in her van about 5 miles away.
Police say she put her newborn in a trash bag and threw the baby over an upstairs banister.
A podcast that examines real stories in real time.
Disturbing.
He says she asked him to help her end her life.
True Crime Today starts now.
That indeed it does. Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any episodes of the show. Leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. We do greatly appreciate that as well. It's Tony and Stacey Cole with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Hey, just I'm still here. I think the one of the podcasts that we did, I was worried I wasn't going to be here or I was going to die while we were recording.
Yeah. Yeah. There was trees falling on your house.
Yes. We had a tree in the backyard that it, I don't know. We had an arborist come out and look at it a couple years ago and they took down a couple of branches and said, it's fine. And then a couple of storms hit and it just decided to drop humongous, like, huge limbs down on our backyard, destroyed a fence, hit the neighbor's house. And then the next week after that, it took our car. It absolutely destroyed our car, totaled it. So we decided it was coming down and it was a whole thing. And we had some interesting character take it down for us. And he damaged a couple things in the backyard. And so it's the last day and a half has just been like bombs going off outside my house. The house would shake and the cats are running and it's just really stressful.
What would be more exciting is if you had did some fireworks at the same time while that was all going on, just to add to the ambiance. So you really
absolutely
kind of
feel, yeah,
a little more war zone-ish, you know, because you really you miss some of that when you don't have all that going on.
So. Absolutely. Well, absolutely. Yeah. So I'm really thankful. He's not here this morning. The tree is gone. The sun is shining. I have no more shade in the backyard, but there are worse things that could happen. So life is good.
Very much like a family of squirrels misplaced from your tree.
Please don't even bring those up. I was up this morning at about 5 a.m.
And you saw the squirrels out there.
I saw the squirrel walking around and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry.
Was it looking for its children?
Probably.
Did you find
it? Or it's probably plotting some revenge on us because we destroyed its home.
I wouldn't be surprised. I'd start watching for like gang signs on that squirrel, like weird tats and things of that nature, because that squirrel's going to take revenge. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow,
but it's coming
when you least expect it. That squirrel's coming back. So just, you know, keep an eye out. It'd be kind of scary.
I know.
Yeah. Well, I walked into the studio today. We had thunderstorms last night and I did unplug everything because I very much act like my mother in 1985 and run around the house when storms are coming and unplug valuable things.
Yeah.
And there's good reason for it, because I have been struck before, and I've usually been pretty vigilant about it, but there's been times where it's just, it comes and you don't have time to unplug everything. And mm-hmm. I've made some hefty insurance claims on electronics over the years. I don't think we were struck last night. I just think this computer that I was using just kind of took a shit. But that was my first thought when I got in here, was like, why is this computer not working? So luckily I have a backup. But yeah, I've had that where literally in a house where we got struck, the light bulbs blew up. Like the bulbs themselves cracked.
Oh my God.
Shattered. And we thought a tornado was coming towards us at that moment, because there was reports of one on the ground, kind of in a path towards our direction. It was hitting, this was in Wichita. It hit, I think, Boeing or Spirit, one of the two, the big airplane companies, took out like a hangar there. And then typically, if you have a power surge, because surges do come when a tornado comes, because it's breaking lines as it goes, you will have a pretty powerful surge, but it usually just kind of like kills your electronics. This literally blew up the lights, and anything that was plugged in was not going to work the same again.
Dear God.
That was like a $15,000, $20,000 claim on electronics right there. And as fun as it is to get new, refreshing electronics to replace ones that may have been kind of getting old anyhow, it's a lovely thing to do, but it's a pain in the ass. Because,
well, and you only want to do it when you're ready to do it, not when it's like, oh, fuck, look what just happened.
And you're like, everything is gone until you can get it up and running. And especially when it's like, I rely on these things for work. But we're up and running on another computer. But yeah, we'll figure this out.
You know, it's funny that you bring up the whole 1985 thing, because my dad lived in South Dakota, and I was out there with him for summers. I lived in Minnesota, but had to go to South Dakota mm-hmm. for my summer vacation. And he was absolutely paranoid about storms. Mm-hmm. He would unplug everything, just like you were saying. But then you like couldn't be near water. Like you couldn't use the sink. You mm-hmm. couldn't, God forbid, if you were taking a shower and it was storming.
Yeah, I still kind of operate that way.
Do you really?
I do. I do not take a shower or get in any sort of water, like a bath. I don't take baths to begin with. But I don't take a shower, because in theory, it can travel through water lines and such. And if you got your house got struck directly, that wouldn't be good either when you're taking a shower. Let's just Google. Let's just see how much of this is Wisconsin Lutheran based fear that my mother instilled in me. And because, trust me, it's like, let's be afraid of everything. We're Lutherans.
Right. You couldn't even go to the sink to get a glass of water. That's how paranoid my dad was.
That's a bit much. But yeah. Okay. Can you should you shower when it's lightning? Let's just see what that says.
You know, and that makes sense that maybe you shouldn't.
It is safe to take a shower or bath, or is it safe? No, lightning can travel through plumbing. It's best to avoid all water during a thunderstorm. There you go.
Wait a minute. All water? So was my dad right that I couldn't even get a freaking glass of water?
Well, technically, yes. But if you were to just turn the sink on, let it fill, and then grab your cup, you're probably okay.
God. I can't tell you how thirsty I was as a kid. See, I mean, South Dakota, we had storms all the time, and they were horrible because there was nothing to block them. There was no hills. This was flatlands. Mm-hmm. If there was a thunderstorm, you were pretty much running for the basement almost every time.
Sure. Well,
and not out of being paranoid, like the sky was green, black, and
that's the worst. You just know shit's going down when that's happening. So you weren't allowed to drink water. Did he have liquor that he was able to consume during the course of these storms?
No, I wish he had been an alcoholic. It may have made my childhood easier, but no, he was a dry alcoholic. He was a nut.
Oh, so he was at one time, but he wasn't then?
No, he should have been. Okay. He acted like an alcoholic, but there was no alcohol behind any of it.
Because a dry alcoholic is usually someone who stopped drinking without getting treatment.
Not to my knowledge. Okay. Not to my knowledge. So I misspoke. Yeah, he was just nuts.
Oh, wow. Well, there, one of those times, like we say in the show, like it would have been better if the story included drugs were involved.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, it would have made more sense to me. Like, oh, it's the alcohol doing it. But no, there were no chemicals.
Yeah.
behind any of his craziness. He was just nuts for the sake of being nuts.
And you just got to sit there your life going, well, this is just natural and genetic and shit. These are my genes too.
I didn't have kids. I didn't feel that it was safe to pass on these genes. That's how fucked up he was.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Oh yeah. Yeah. One day we'll get into it. It's, I've got stories.
Well, you know, bravo to you, because most people don't follow that. They're like, fuck it, it'll be great. And I think I think more should take the caution like you have, because that's...
No, I basically just looked at my family line and went, it is my responsibility to humanity to stop this right here. This is
wow.
It. Yep.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know, I guess the world thanks you. Although I think you could have been a pretty damn good mom, but I guess, you know, genetics can sometimes outweigh even the best of people.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I might've been a good mom, but I was so worried that at some point I would turn not realize that I was doing things. I just didn't want to take that chance.
Turns into like The Walking Dead. They're turning. She's changing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's scary when you have that. I understand. Let's go to our first story of the day. This is someone who probably also shouldn't have procreated. Los Angeles Sheriff's Department deputy with previous arrest for alleged child sex abuse charged with abusing four girls. A deputy with the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department has been charged with sexually assaulting four girls who were between the ages of 7 and 13 at the time of the attacks, including one girl who reported the abuse in 2006, but whose case was not taken up, according to the Los Angeles County District Attorney, George Gascon. A grand jury indicted the deputy, 51-year-old Sean Essex, with 18 counts of oral copulation of a child, 12 counts of lewd acts upon a child under the age of 14, 2 counts of continuous sexual abuse of a child under 14, and one count of possession of material depicting a child sex act. Gacon said in a news release, one of the four victims reported that Essex had abused her more than 15 years ago, but the case was previously declined by our office, Gascon said. Sexually assaulting a child not only robs them of their innocence, but also leaves lasting mental trauma. This is one of the most egregious crimes my office encounters, and it's made worse when the crime is committed by someone who's been entrusted to protect them and our community from harm, Gascon said. My office, Bureau of Victim Services, will provide the assistance and resources to the victims in the case to help them in their healing process. Access, who pled not guilty Wednesday, faces 14, 25 to life counts and 18, 15 to life counts, Gascon said. He was arrested by the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department's Internal Criminal Investigations Bureau. According to jail records, he's being held without bail at the Twin Towers Correctional Facility. You think some names should be changed at some point. And he is due to appear in court on September 11th.
He's not going to survive in jail. So,
no.
You know, if we do a follow-up to this, this is dated August 10th of 22. If we follow this up, we'll find out that he was taken care of. I can almost guarantee it.
Jail records also indicate that Essex was arrested by the Internal Criminal Investigations Bureau on April 8th. Though the exact charge is not listed, records show he was released on $100,000 bond and appeared in Los Angeles Municipal Court on April 12th. No additional court date or sentencing information is listed, though KTLA, which we're getting the story from, reported at the time that Essex's first arrest was part of an internal investigation into allegations that he sexually molested a child. Essex was expected to face charges for lewd acts and oral copulation with a child the age of 14. The April report added, it remains unclear if the newer charges are related to Essex's April arrest. So there might be like two different groups of people here. In a statement, the LASD said it had tried to fire Essex several years ago, but the decision was reversed by the Civil Service Commission.
Okay, they need to be sued.
So what does the Civil Service Commission do, and why would they keep him employed? What is their deal?
That's a really good question. I'm going to look them up
Does he have bullshit.
Something on them? Why would they bother keeping this guy around?
Is it another bullshit California bureaucracy that just basically makes life living hell and why everyone is fleeing from the state of California?
It's very possible. Because
there's a lot of that over there. Like, I have zero desire to ever really do anything in California. A government agency of the federal government of the United States, it was created to select employees of federal government on merit rather than relationships. So it's So it doesn't. Relationships are very important when it comes to a job like this, especially if they're fucking kids.
Yeah.
Not just like, oh, you've been around for a while, let's keep you. That's how we have horrible teachers. That's why our education system is absolutely shit, or part of the reason, because we don't fire people. And because we have a huge shortage of people who then don't want to go into the industry because the children are fucking horrible. And the actual system itself is fucking horrible. And then we go, why can't we get teachers? Why would there want, who'd want to fucking teach? So that's lovely. I love all these dumbass rules that we have throughout our country where we're just going to base things solely on things that don't make any logical sense. Where we're going to fire just, you know, groups of people to meet quotas or this and that in the interest of let's make it so it's representative of the exact population. Now, could this have gone horribly wrong many years ago? Yes. Yes, it certainly could have. Mm-hmm. But today... how about we just do things on fucking merit? I mean, when you're hiring a firefighter or you're hiring a police officer, I don't think that should be based on anything other than merit and experience. It shouldn't be based on race. It shouldn't be based on gender identity. It shouldn't be based on anything.
If you can do the job, you should do the job.
So someone who is qualified to do the job, has a good track record, does not get jobs in many cases, because we're going, well, we have to fill this quota over here that the government says, so we're reflective of all this. I don't even understand that one, too, because you look at reflectivity of population numbers. If you were actually to do that, it wouldn't make sense on the levels to which, like, so you're saying this person over here is representing this group. Okay, great. But that's not like 30% of the population. That's like 3% of the population. So if you're going to do that, then do it accurately. Or how about we just don't do that at all because it's fucking crazy?
How about I'm all for hire somebody that can do the job. And I think if that's how you hire people, people will come to do the job.
Just hire people based on merit, experience, talent. I mean, especially when it comes to like life and death shit. I mean, are hospitals doing this now? I hope to God not. But I was reading something the other day about outside of Minneapolis, there's a school system that's planning. They literally in their literature, or not literature, but their policies for the year for layoffs is strictly fire a bunch of white teachers so we can change up the dynamics a little bit. So you're firing solely based on them being white. Now, again, I'm not racist by any means. I'm not racist by any means, but that is racist. That is a racist policy. That is a reverse racist policy, no matter how you look at it. You can't just decide we're going to get rid of people of a certain gender, race, or anything. I don't care what fucking color or gender identity you are. You can't pick them out because of it. And you can't pick them out just because they've been a majority of it for a long period of time. These people are doing their jobs. If there's merit to fire them because they've done something bad, yes, fire them.
Oh my God, I'm reading that story. Wow.
I'm not making it up.
No, and I didn't think you were, but I'm like, this can't be real.
It's real.
It's oh my God. How can this be? You can't yes. lay somebody off or fire them based on their race.
I guess you can if they're white. Which doesn't make any sense. Like, what are we doing here? Like, then the argument, like, well, for all these years, this group was repressed. Sure. But we're not doing that anymore. We're trying not to do that. But we also can't swing the pendulum in the other direction and just fire people because of their race either. Now,
I'm all for, I want students to see. I want them to see themselves represented.
I want them to be fucking educated.
I believe in that. But you can't just go barreling in and wipe out a bunch of white teachers because they're fucking white.
Yeah, well, I guess you can now. I mean, if anything like strokes the flames of racism, it's shit like this. Like, if you ever really want to get a bunch of people who are really kind of closetedly racist to get really upset, I mean, this is me pointing out this being absurd, but if you want to enrage the people who wear the hoods and shit, do more moves like this in the in the move and in the vein of saying that, oh, this is racial equality. It's not. And you're not teaching the children anything about racial equality. You are separating people and showing and you're different and you get this because you of something that you have zero fucking control over.
Oh, God.
Because you were born this way or that way, that, you know, guess what? That's going to amount to a privilege or a punishment from the same people who are arguing that there's everything should be equal. You can't. It's insane. It doesn't make any sense.
I just don't understand how this isn't racist itself. It is. I mean, you are firing people based on their race.
It's 100%.
It doesn't matter that they're white. It is based on their race.
It's because in some of these super woke circles, it's okay to be racist toward the white people because, you know, we've had generations before us that were horrible racist people. But again, if you look at history, it's like, well, it was a period of time and every woke snowflake thinks the world didn't exist before them and they have no concept of what different periods in time were like. Does it make everything right or good? No. But it doesn't mean we can go the other fucking direction.
No.
And just shit all over people too. It's the opposite of what I think real woke would be. And woke would be true equality for everyone. Not let's take it out on a bunch of people or tell everybody how we hate each other because of this or that. That's the craziest fucking shit I've ever heard.
I'm reading into this. I'm appalled.
We live in the Twilight Zone because this shit is happening. It's real and it's fucking insane. So there you go. Ugh. Human remains found in suitcases. A New Zealand family bought at auction. Now, what I think should really happen here to make sure that New Zealand family is feeling comfortable with the human remains that they found in there, I think they should probably go back and make sure that the remains in the suitcases are a equal representation of society as a whole in their hometown at that time. So they feel that, you know, it wasn't just one group of people that were murdered in their suitcases. We want to make sure that, you know, they feel okay. There's one group represented here. There's one, like, and then we're going to all be good.
Naughty.
Human remains found in the suitcases. Authorities in New Zealand are investigating the death of an individual whose body was discovered in old suitcases the family had won at auction, people confirms. I wonder how many times people get remains at auction, like urns and stuff.
Oh, I bet a lot of times because, you know, grandma or grandpa, you know, just gets put into a box and put in storage because they don't want, you know, one or sitting on the mantle.
Where it's just like kind of a lot of stuff you're buying where it's like in this box of grandma's shit. And it's like, oh God,
there's grandma
that. And I would imagine people that bid on storage, facilities too, that go unpaid so they can get the shit out of there. But there's a lot of urns in there.
Oh, I bet you're right.
There's a lot of people with a lot of bodies. Counties of Manukau police announced in a statement that the person's death is being held as a homicide. Police were first notified about the gruesome discovery last Thursday afternoon. The story from People. According to police, the contents of the abandoned storage unit the family had placed the winning bid on were delivered Thursday to their home. Okay, so this was a storage unit that they bought on that had the luggage. As they rummaged through the items from the storage unit, they found suitcases and inside of them, human remains. Yeah. From our inquiry so far, we can advise the occupants of the address are not believed to be involved in the incident, the statement explains. Police acknowledge them for their assistance so far, and we are providing support for them. That would be a way to pin a murder on somebody else.
Wouldn't it?
You buy a lot like that, and then you find a body in it, but really you put the body there and you blame the people from the storage unit.
I wonder if they could figure that out, though.
I think if there's some sort of connection to you and the dead deceased, yes. So I guess you kind of have to do that if you're randomly killing someone and like, well, we got to do something here, but I guess you'd be drawing more attention to it.
Yeah. But if you just called and said, hey, I just, you know, like bought this storage unit and there's a freaking body in here. I need somebody to come out.
It would work better if you're trying to frame the person and you know who you're buying it from or whose it was. And there's some sort of, you know, scorn there. It's like, oh, this was the unit that was owned by the guy who cheated with my wife. And turns out, you know, it's like he got back at the person by putting his wife's body in the unit. Then it looks like the guy killed his wife. And There'd be some twisted ways of doing that. I could see a Dateline.
Not that you've
episode.
Thought about it.
No, it's just too much watching Dateline. Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, the possibilities of every situation, because you're always trying to guess, where is this going to go? A statement notes that the main priority for police is identifying the remains and notifying the deceased person's family. A post-mortem examination is underway, which should provide investigators with a cause and manner of death, say police. The statement says that given the nature and discovery, this might take a little while. So, there you
Yikes.
Go. Really wonder what state that was in.
Yeah, it doesn't... Well, it's New Zealand.
Be a pretty big suitcase, too, I would think. Well, must be like
did
a
they
chest.
Just find fingers, a foot? What did they, you know, it doesn't really say what they found, just yeah. that they found a gruesome discovery.
Like, was the body spread out between carry-on items and check bags, or...
Well, you can only fit so much into those bags. So, yeah, I probably had to do that.
I am pretty good at not checking a bag and getting a lot in there. I just did that the other week, and I was pretty impressed with myself. Now, granted, it felt like I was carrying a medium-sized child on my back with the amount of stuff I did fit in there. But I did get it on the plane. Can't say so much for my girlfriend, who also, well, whole plan, all of us would be to check the bags. And got there, and this really was kind of bullshit. They have the little thing right before you get on the plane, and they check it again to make sure it's the right size. She was like over by a centimeter. And keep in mind, this thing, the measurements, there's like a little like stage on it that actually goes above the line that they tell you of like, here's your measurements. So you're like short by about 2 or 3 centimeters when you're right at the gate of what you're expecting. Like, this is over by... And she's like, well, look at the line. It's like, there's this little platform you have here.
Yep.
Like, nope, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. They're just very rude. It's like, well, we're going all the way to Hawaii. We have some very tight connectors. I just saw like 7 people walk past us with even larger bags. Nope, you got to do this one. Well, what about those ones? Well, they're fine.
Did you have to check the bag instead?
We did. And luckily it made it. And there's technology now on a lot of these apps that show you where your bag is going as it's being transported. So that was nice. But, you know, that's the reason we didn't do it to begin with, was because of the nightmares that happen with that sort of thing. But it made it. But you're really dealing with some pretty... power-hungry people sometime right there at the gate of the airport. Maybe they need to be there. Maybe they really need those types to stand up to really unruly passengers. But they're a fucking treat when you're just trying to be logical or talk common sense to people. It's kind of fucking bizarre. But
yeah, I've had a few instances. My former mother-in-law, she worked for an airline in Minneapolis. Don't need to go any further with that, which one it was. But yeah, she fit in quite well. Let's just put it that way.
It's like, do you hate people? Do you love telling them they're wrong? Then American Airlines has a job for you.
Oh, God. Yeah. You know, they've been through a lot with COVID. I will give you that. But that's really no excuse to treat people poorly.
No. It was entertaining somewhat, but it was like, this is bullshit. Pain doctor convicted of sexually abusing patients dies by suicide in jail. A former man. Yeah. Well, I mean, as long as he's guilty. I could see, you know, quite honestly, if you're accused of something like this and your life is ruined, probably also considering this option, just feeling like you're completely fucked. A former Manhattan neurologist convicted late last month of sexually abusing his patients died by suicide this week inside a New York City jail. People confirms. New York City Police Department sources tell People that 60-year-old Dr. Ricardo Crucani was found dead at about 6 a.m. Monday in the shower area of the Eric M. Taylor Center on Rikers Island. The source confirms that he hung himself. On July 29th, after a month-long trial, Kakani was found guilty on 12 counts of predatory sexual assault, sexual abuse, rape, and other crimes. Prosecutors had said he purposely got his patients addicted to powerful pain medications and later threatened to withhold their prescriptions unless they performed certain sexual acts. Okay, so he's a pretty shitty human. Kakani was set to be sentenced on September 14th. He faced a possible life sentence. He was also facing federal charges and an indictment that accused him of abusing multiple patients for more than 15 years at his offices in New York City Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. So this guy really, he had a system worked out there of getting people hooked, apparently, and then doing horrible things.
This story really, most of the stories we do really piss me off, but I've been going to a pain clinic for 12 years, and it's hard enough to get the pain meds you need. I have a back injury from roller derby, and I'll tell you, you have to go in, you have to pee in a cup to prove that you are taking your medication, proving that you're not selling it, that it's actually in your system.
Mm-hmm.
So there's enough hoops that you have to go through. You have to have them fill out forms to prove that you chronically need the medication. Otherwise your insurance won't take care of it. And sometimes you have to do this like on a yearly basis. Otherwise, they'll just prescribe 2 weeks at a time for you. Mm-hmm. So every 2 weeks, you're going to Walgreens to get your damn prescription.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. Like, they will not give you a month's worth or more than that unless you have this paperwork filled out. But in order to have the paperwork, you have to do the drug test. The drug test is $600. Insurance doesn't cover it.
Yeah.
All these hoops you have to go through if you suffer from pain.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have this fucking prick. I'm glad he killed himself. Did somebody kill him?
He
died by suicide.
The disgraced physician once chaired the neurology department at Philadelphia's Drexel University. He surrendered his medical license in 2017 as part of a plea deal in a separate case. Six women he had treated in 2012 at Beth Israel Medical Center in New York City, now known as Mount Sinai Beth Israel, accused him of developing personal relationships with them and using his psychiatric training to ask personal questions. The victims all said he would initiate physical contact with them by stroking their hair. He also complimented their appearances and gave them uncomfortably tight hugs, prosecutors said at trial. What gets me about this is, like, if you're doing this and it's, you think you're like being all sly, it's like you could not be any more obviously a creep. Terry Phoenix, one of the victims who testified against him during his criminal trial, told the Washington Post, "I take comfort knowing he now faces another judge."
God, to become a neurologist, you know, we've talked about this many times, like the anesthesiologist who was doing things to patients who were under anesthesia. The work and the drive it takes to become these professionals just astounds me that they are willing to throw their lives away like this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, very much so.
I would love to be a physician. I'd love to be a veterinarian, but the work, I don't have it in me. And to watch these people who've not only gone through medical school, but these specialties and get out and they've passed their exams and they're licensed, and then they just fuck away their lives with this horrific behavior. What is wrong with you?
I don't know what to say. I mean, would this fall into like a sexual addiction of some sort, or would this be a mental dis? I don't know. I mean, it just really comes down to them being absolute shitty human beings, but I want to look at the source, like, okay, what's causing this person to be a shitty human being other than them just being a shitty human being? You know, it's, I don't know. I wonder about that, because people take this shit to such extremes, and it's just like, how are you not seeing what you're doing? How are you completely, you know, missing the boat on this?
But, well, and I clicked a link on the story, and it says that he was considered highly esteemed in his field and regarded as a gifted doctor in relieving chronic pain. So it wasn't just he was a doctor. He was a great doctor. And then he just decided, I'm just going to cross this line several times.
It's amazing what people are capable of doing and how they can ruin their lives so very, very quick. All right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of True Crime Today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. And press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any episodes of our program. New episodes every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. Daily briefs every single day. Until next time, for Stacey and all of us at True Crime Today, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.